I am, yes, sir. If you take it down for sure, yes. Proverbs chapter 11. Thank you, Abby. I am glad. Somebody sings about heaven, amen. I can't help but think, oh, death, where is thy sting? Amen. There's victory in the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Amen. Proverbs chapter 11, if you would. I had a blessing, went to a business today in Lake Wales, trying to do some business, and what a blessing it was. Before I made it out the door, they found out where I was from, amen. But I found out that the assistant manager graduated our Christian school, and that young man I was talking to there wasn't much younger than me. He said that, oh yes, he said, I lived in Arbondale and the bus picked me up all those years as a teenager, brought me to church. He said, and he said, all those old people churches, that's what he called them. Now, I didn't say that. He said it. He said, all them old people churches over there in Arbondale, he said, and they didn't have nothing for young people. He said, but that church had something for young people, and they came and got us and brought us to church and made sure that we were in the building and we heard the word of the Lord. Amen. He said he got saved here. What a blessing. Amen. It's a great testimony. And if we could just talk to a lot of people around the town all over the place, we'd find out there's a lot of stories just like that one. Amen. Of people that have been affected by our ministry. And it's important for us as we live for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to study in here, just trying to find the gist here and looking at it. But the more that I looked at the verse last week, we talked about in verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work. And we talked about a little bit of those things. But down in verse 20, he begins to talk about the person here. He really gets down to the nitty gritty about the heart. Deals a little bit, not necessarily with emotions, but the way we come at things in this life. And again, you know, a lot of times for us, there's really just two ways. And I guess you could add a third if you just say, I don't care. But I would say that that's not really a position if you kind of take no position. But you either are in a position of rebellion from the things of God, or you are acceptant to the things of God. A lot of people think that they're in the middle. A lot of people like to call themselves atheist because they don't believe God, because they want to be put in the middle. All right, I don't know about you, but you know, there's no such thing as an atheist on his dying bed, all right? There's no such things. There are people that, you know, they find out very quickly as they enter into eternity where they're headed. And it's a sad thing that they won't come to that realization. But here in the proverb, in verse number 20, he begins here. He says, they that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord. That word froward, if I could kind of just take a little bit of time to explain it to you. For the tape room, I know we don't always do this, but I'm going to focus on delight tonight, the word delight. And so if you'd put this on the tape, amen. Those that delight in right, the Lord will be delighted. With those the Lord's going to be delighted. If you put that delight in right, I really believe if we would focus ourselves here, that word froward in the 1828 dictionary, I like to go to that quite a bit, and you'll get to know that over the time. It says that they that are of a froward heart, that word froward means perverse, not willing to yield or comply with what is required. All right? Not willing to yield or comply with what is required. Froward, again, that word froward is, again, just kind of, again, if I could put it in my own definition and put that, if you're not willing to comply, then you're against it. You're in rebellion against with what the rules or the law or the right thing is. And a lot of times, there's a lot of people that don't think about themselves that way. You know, we don't like to think about ourselves as we're going down the highway and the law says 55. And we're going 65. We don't like to think about ourselves as in rebellion. But when those lights come up behind us, we have to decide whether we're going to continue to rebel or whether we're going to comply and yield. And we don't think about it all the time in that perspective when we think about God's law A lot of times man's law help us realize that, you know, that's a law. That's not a law. That's just a suggestion. But when we see those lights behind us, we realize it really is a law. And even though we don't really like it, we either comply or we pay the fine. You know, I heard about a young man, and I used to be one, but I remember, when I was a teenager, I got a big fine. I don't even want to tell you how fast I was going, but I was going way too fast. And the policeman knew me. He knew my father, and he said, if you had been going one more mile an hour over, I could have taken your license. And that scared me, because I liked driving. I didn't like that. But then he said, but I'm not going to give you a break on this fine. And he wrote me a ticket. And I mean, was it a ticket? I didn't make that much in a week. Amen. I lost a couple paychecks over that. And, I began to think, I don't think it's worth it not to comply. Amen. And it fixed me of some of those things. You say, well, Brother Parsons, I don't know about that. Well, listen, he says that the froward in heart, think about this. How does it put it in perspective? They that are froward, those with a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord. That word abomination means this. In 1828 dictionary, it means extreme hatred. God hates rebellion, folks. God does not like when people go the opposite way. He hates sin. He doesn't like it. And I've heard a lot of times where people say, the word that goes along with it is detestation. Can you imagine that? That God would detest the things that you're doing in your life? That God would be against you and against the things that are going on? You say, well, God's not against me. No, he died to save you. But if you're heading in the wrong way and you're continuing to sin, that, again, God judges people, folks. God brings judgment. He will bring judgment someday. And a lot of times, I know in my own life, especially for the Christian, if you already are saved and you know you're on your way to heaven, there's going to be, we don't call it judgment. We don't like to call it that. We call it chastisement to bring us back. You know, in my home, if you do wrong, you get chastised. Tonight, my little girl, she's over in the gym, so she wouldn't mind me talking about her, right? And she won't know, amen, unless she tunes in later on. Maybe when she becomes an adult, she'll... And there were some fruit snacks on the shelf, and she wanted those fruit snacks so bad. And I said, I don't think they're good for you before dinner tonight. I don't think that's a good plan. But, you know, after that, she didn't want nothing but them fruit snacks. I mean, she felt compelled to get them. And she turned to Mom, and Mom said, well, I don't think they're bad for you. But now that Dad said you can't have them, you can't have them. You can't have those fruit snacks. And then, you know, right before she had ate all her dinner, I mean, filled up, slippery dumplings that I preached on the other day. I mean, we had eaten well. She came up and held the pack of empty fruit snacks to me. And I didn't think about it. I was about to go outside the door. And I said, I can't believe you got that. You know, I didn't even register it. My wife caught her. You know, I was checked out. I get one screen. You know what I'm talking about, man? I'm like a one screen guy. Mom's got like 20 or 30 or I'm not really sure how many are going. I don't know about women. I've never been one. Don't plan to be one. And so, but the one screen man that I am, you know, I was thinking about something else. And Mom goes, are you eating fruit snacks? And you know what the best judgment call that I've ever seen made? She goes, you go put them in the trash right now. And she had those fruit snacks, the prize, the greatest thing on planet Earth, the thing she had to have most. I watched her dump them in the trash can, and I watched her heart sink. You know, sometimes God does that with us. You know, sometimes God, I mean, if we make money, if we put money above him, you know what he'll do? He'll make us go dump it in the trash, and we won't even know why we're doing it. When we put things above him, we don't understand why in the world these things are going to pieces. When we put other things in front of him, now listen, I'm starting there because I'm hoping to go somewhere tonight that, again, if I'm not careful, you'll think I'm preaching a prosperity gospel. All right? But God does have a thing when he blesses men. Amen. Blessed is the man, the Bible says. You know that God can bless men, and he can give them wealth. He can give them riches if he so chooses to do so. He even talks about what the blessed man will do with them in the scripture. But here tonight, he even goes through this idea. He says, they that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. I don't know about you folks, but I know this. I don't want to be going the opposite way God don't Amen. Want me to go. I don't want my heart's intent. That is what the scripture tonight is talking about, is my desires are contrary to the things of God, contrary to his commandments, contrary to his laws, contrary to standards in the word of God. I don't want to be opposite of the things that God wants in my life. I want desperately to please God. I want the word delight. I mean, it means to have some great joy in something. We're going to give the definition here in a little while, but I want more than anything. If I could just say I want God to be happy, that's just a light meaning of the word. When I say God, I want God to delight in me. If I could say it like this, if we can go back and when he looked at Job and he said, have you considered my servant Job? Do you think God was delighting in Job and in his faith? Do you think God was delighted in Job and how he sacrificed and how he lived and how he cared for his family? I believe that our God delighted in Job, and I want God to delight in my life because I'm walking his way, because of the uprightness of the way, of my way, because of his book, because of what he's taught me, because of where he's led me to. He gives this verse in verse 21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. That right there, that's for you college students. Amen. It's not good for a man to touch a woman. Amen. So if hand joins in hand, look at it with me. I know I'm taking out of context, but I thought I'd just get you a little bit here, okay? Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Amen. Just take your marker down. Amen. But anyway, in context, amen. He's talking about when the wrong side of things, those that are evil, those that are the enemy of the things of God, you know, they're not against joining up. You know that there, sometimes when we think about this last election, and I don't really plan on getting too political, but you do realize a bunch of bad people had to align and get themselves all connected to make a lot of that stuff happen. And you know, in the past, I mean, some of the best days that we've ever had is when God had them in derision. And they couldn't get along with each other. And they spent most of their time spittering and spattering with each other about all kinds of little things. But, you know, they united against a president this last election. They united against things that were, and I'm not saying he was godly. I'm just saying some of the decisions he was making were of God, were right decisions. He was on the right side of a lot of things. And the enemy loaded up and joined up against him. But you know, God gives us promises. It don't mean that they've won. It just means they won right now. It doesn't say that they won't win. It says that though they join hand in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Do you know one of the greatest things about the book is we realize we know the end of all things. And we know that again, I don't take pleasure. We don't want one person to go to hell. I'd like for every person that voted the wrong way to get saved and go to heaven. And I think there's some people that might even have been saved but greatly deceived that made a wrong choice. But here in the scripture, he says, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. You know, more than anything, I want God to be delighted with me. But you know, as a parent, I want God to be delighted with my children. I can't make their decisions for them, but I know that a lot of my decisions help shape the decisions that they make. Some of the things that I put into their life this week at the preacher meetings that we were at, that they talked a lot about fathers, and they talked a lot about how it affects a young person. How much the father not only teaches in a correct way, but also reaffirms. He talked about his own father and talked about, he said, I just thought every daddy was like mine. I thought every daddy went every day would when I he said I would fall and I would fail in the Christian life, and my dad would say, you got to get over this, you got to get this right, because God is going to use you greatly. God is going to make something out of you. God is going to do something with you. And I thought, man, that is good. You know, so many times if we're not careful, we're so busy trying to mark all the things that are wrong, we forget to tell them, hey, God can still use you. Because, I mean, I'm just going to tell you, folks, I mean, you're looking at somebody that he reached down into the miry clay and lifted me up, amen, and set me upon a solid rock, amen. And every day, I mean, he dusts me off. And if he chooses to use me, it's not because of me, it's because of him, amen, and because his goodness and his grace and his mercy. It's not because there's goodness in me, but there's goodness in him, amen. And there's a great God that wants to use us, even if the enemy wants to pile up against us, even if the city wants to come against us, even if the county, even if the state. Now, we live in a great county, praise God, and we live in a good city, and I hope it gets better. And I think we live in a good country. If you wanted to go around the world, listen, folks, a lot of people don't have the ability to even earn enough money or could even go out and buy the book that every one of us have readily available. And if you didn't have one, most of the time, somebody around here would give you a Bible that you could read. Most places in the world today, they'd be lucky if somebody could bring them a John and Romans so that they could have a good piece of the truth, not all the truth. Man, we're blessed in our country. Not just because we have a roof over our head and air conditioned so we don't sweat. We're blessed because, listen, I can't tell you. I do not know. I have never been able, I couldn't go back and count how many times the gospel was preached to me before I got saved. And I realize every day of my life that there are other people who've never heard it once. And God was gracious and merciful to preach it to me over and over and over again until I accepted it. Not because of some of me, but because of his son. And I'll be honest with you, I really believe I'm a blessed man because I was born in the United States of America, in a place where people would preach it over and over again because of our nation's birth and founded in the Christian faith. What a blessing it is. This idea of delight, I want you to do something with me. As I was studying this and I looked, and there was a verse reference and I couldn't help but do it. I know it ain't going to help us get through Proverbs, but again, I believe it's what the Lord would have for us tonight. Would you look over it? Psalms 112 with me tonight. With the idea of God really wanting to delight in us. I mean, when we live for him, according to the scripture, as you turn there, I've already got it marked, but he says that, but as such are upright in their way are his delight. His delight. I want to delight the Lord. Don't you? I think about that. And I think about here, this chapter begins with, so how am I going to be God? How am I going to be upright? How am I going to delight God? All right. It's going to be simple. I think it's going to be easy to see here in Psalms chapter 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. You know, the simplistic thing, and I know it might be too simple tonight, but you know, one of the ways that we can delight God is be delighted in him. To be delighted in his word. To be delighted in his way. To delight ourselves. I want to read this definition before I get too far. Sometimes I make all these notes, and I was telling Brother Burt, sometimes I don't ever read them. Amen. Isn't that a shame? Do you know that the Bible says that he delighteth greatly? He's talking about the blessed man. I know most of you here tonight, even if we just wanted to preach a message on being a blessed man, blessed is the man. The word there a lot of times is happy. Happy is the man is the way a lot of people would put it. But I want you to see this. There's a different connotation or a different definition of delight or delighteth. In the 1828 dictionary, it means a high degree of pleasure, satisfaction of mind, and then it uses this term that I thought strange, joy. Do you know there's a difference between happiness and joy? The world can attain happiness for moments, but they can't have true joy outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe joy is reserved for the Christian. I believe it's something that's not just this temporary satisfaction of mind or body or any of those things, but delighteth. That means this. Here he says a high degree of pleasure. Do you know that when I know I've done something that made the Lord happy, I get great pleasure in that as a Christian? When I know I hit my mark, and it's not because of me, but because his son lives in me, that the Holy Spirit is guiding me. And I was able to be obedient in this area of God's word. I get great pleasure in that. Because folks, if you're honest with yourself and I'm honest with myself, that don't happen all the time. I'm an old sinner saved by grace. And if you're in here thinking that you please God every day, all the time, you got another thing coming. Amen. Most of us have sinned before we get both feet on the floor. Amen and amen. If we would just be honest with ourselves, we realize, man, the moments that we truly delight in God and what He's doing in our lives, those are moments to capitalize on. Those are times to have great joy and to rejoice in those moments that I didn't just get close to the bullseye, but friend, this time I hit the bullseye. This time I hit it all the way. Boy, I've been trying and I'm trying. I don't know about you. I know a lot of times, and I don't really know because I don't have any history. Thank God. Can I testify? I've never been in a bar room, all right? I've never been in a pool hall and all those other things. And some people say, well, darts are bad because they're in this place. I didn't spend any time there, all right? So don't tell on yourself, all right? So, when you throw darts, I'm just aiming at the bullseye, trying to have a good time and throw the thing at the center. I ain't thinking about a bar room or anybody. I don't get no bad memories from that. And I know some people think guitars are evil too because they used to play rock music on them. But the one Brother McBride plays is pretty good. Amen. And so when I throw that dart at that thing and I hit the center, that don't happen all the time. I throw it at it and I may get close. I may be close, but I don't always hit the bullseye. And so in the Christian life, I want to try and I want to try and I want to try. But I think about this, even as Christians, how many times, whatever you're being successful in, how many times did you throw at that thing before you hit it? How many times did you get after it before you got it? How many times, again, did you work and work and work at it, or did, if I could say it the way it really happened, did God work and work and work in you until you got it? Yeah. Amen. But sometimes, as Christians, what we'll do is once we get successful, then we want to turn our nose up to the people that ain't hit the mark yet. Right. When somebody comes in and they ain't made it to where we are yet, I'm just going to be honest with you, folks. Most people need what you needed. Man, you almost made it this time. You'll get it next time. You keep on going. Man, you almost had it this time. You just keep on keeping on. You'll get it. Hey, why don't you go with me and I'll show you how it works for me. When we had baseball, we got baseball out there right now. I mean, we ain't playing basketball and all, but almost any sport, you got coaches. I've had some great coaches in my life. And they not only told me when I was doing it wrong, but most of them would get, the best coaches I've ever had would lose their mind when I did it right. They'd get on me. Get up. You're not doing it right. Get back in there. Do it right this time. Run it again. Do it again. You can do it. Come on. I need your best. And then when I did it, I remember this one time. And again, I know it's going to be a story in your word that we're going to go over. But I remember, I had a coach that he coached. And, he played college ball. And, he was crazy anyway. All right, I'll just start with that. But, we were playing a playoff game. And I had been hurt for about a game or so. And I did not play. I'll just say that. I just have been taped up. More than you could think a person could be taped up. And I was hobbling on one ankle for two games. Finally, I got the tape, and I hadn't been on the kickoff team. And they finally cut all the tape off of me. And I felt free. I don't know how to tell you other than, I felt like I could run 100 miles an hour because that tape was off of me. And I wasn't hobbling anymore. And I said, Coach, put me in. I want to be on the kickoff team. Because he had just got us all in a huddle. And he said, man, we need to set a precedent. We need to make the biggest hit. I want everybody in the top of the bleachers to nose the bleed when you hit that guy out on the field. He was that crazy. He was getting it pumped up. He goes, I want you to kill him. Back then you could say stuff like that. you know? I mean, he was excited. And we got done, and I realized after I was like, ah, yes, let's kill. Then he goes, get on the field. And I realized I wasn't in on that. I had been hurt, and I couldn't run wide open, so I wasn't on the kickoff team. And I said, Coach, my tape is off. I can get out there. He said, you. He grabbed the first kid running by and threw him down on the ground and goes, get in there. And so I'm like, where does this kid stand? Because it wasn't my place. He wasn't the kid that had taken my place. And I ended up right beside the kicker. Now, I never had been right in the center of the field. Usually I was a bigger guy, so I covered the outside edges. And I was right in the middle. And I mean, he kicked a bomb. That guy kicked a ball. He was a big lineman. And he kicked, he didn't kick sideways. I mean, he kicked dead on. And that thing went booming in the air. And I did not know where it was, but I knew it was going to come down because God has laws in this world. Amen. And I just kept running. And I ran, and nobody touched me. And I ran, and I watched the next wall of players get ready to come and stop. And just before they got their shoulder pad on me, I had run by them. I've run 50 yards now, and no one has touched me. And I'm like a steamroller. I don't look like I can run that fast, but if you give me 50 or 60 yards to get opened up, friend, I'm not going to stop. And I had wound up, and I mean, I watched the ball come over my head and skip on the ground. And a boy about half my size picked that thing up and look up, and his eyes got that big. And he said, he went, oh, and that's all he got out. And I picked him up in the air, and I leaped into the air with him, and I drove him into the ground about on the 5-yard line. And he did not get up. And I got up, and I'm just going to be honest with you. This is the, I went, ah, and that's all I got out. And my team tackled me. And when I stood up, my coach was on the field, and he tackled me. I mean, it was a terrible sight. I mean, they had to clear all of our bench back off the field because I'm telling you, if a couple of them, some of them, they may not have had a nosebleed, but their eyes teared up because what they saw happen on the field. If they were, you know, if they liked the other team, it was bad. You say, Brother Parsons, I mean, what do you say? I'm just saying, I remember the greatest thing. I mean, the hit was good and all the things that happened thereafter, but I realized when I got to the sideline, I could tell that I had delighted. My coach was not just happy. He didn't just have a little happiness in his heart. I could see that I had given him joy, that he had taught me how to blow a kid up like that, and that I had done it to my fullest ability. And I had given it my all. Do you know what, for me, in the Christian life, can I just give you, I mean, some of you guys that are in the college, some of you guys need to be encouraged and realize the people that are the hardest around you, your bus captain might be hard on you, but you know what? When you do it right, he gets the greatest delight that you've ever seen. If you turn around and watch him, when you get up and you sing the song right, you know, when you get up and sing, you know, Heidi, hey, Heidi, ho on the bus, and you do it just like Brother James does it, Brother James gets delight in his heart. He's like, man, I have finally taught him something. He's finally got that one right. We can move on to the next song. You know, when you get up and sing hee-haw, hee-haw, and it ain't the right song, but you're just excited and you're doing something. Say, Brother Parsons, come on now. I'm just telling you, God gets excited when his people delight in doing it right. I'm telling you, when we get delighted and say, this is God's way, you say, what are you talking about, Brother Parsons? Look at it with me. He goes on, he says, that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Folks, I've already told you, I delight when my kids do right, but I get more excited. Can I tell you this? When I see my boys growing spiritually strong at an early age, I realize they could pass me up in the depth of their knowledge of the Word of God, that they could go farther than I ever went because I've invested myself in their life and other good men and women because they were taught in Christian school and they learned things and they've grown in the Word of God and they can go farther than I ever could because of their might. It says, his seed, little s, shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Look at this, verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house and his righteousness endureth forever. I don't know about you, but here when we talk about it, I know we live in a day and age, and with a group of people in this building, we don't like it when somebody preaches, you know, wealth and riches and all those things, and thinks that, you know, because we realize that we're in the church age and there will be tribulation on this side of heaven. We realize that there's going to be people that pass away. There's going to be hard times. Sometimes the power is going to go out. Sometimes things are going to be rough. You're going to have a flat tire. Things aren't always going to go well. Sometimes there's going to be a bill that it seems like you hardly can't pay. But there's some blessings when you follow God and you do it God's way. Do you know that even if you gave God your finances and did it God's way, that God would bless that thing and you could end up with wealth and riches? God can bless those things if you do it God's way. God has explained some things in His Word, and it doesn't return void, folks. If you do things God's way and you delight in His commandments, not just in the areas of sin, but in the areas of money, in the areas of the home, all right, in the areas of being a man or being a woman. Amen. In every area of the Word of God, if we would just delight in His commandments, then God would bless us. And it's not prosperity gospel to preach that God can bless a man for doing right with his money, and God can bless him and give him wealth and riches. Do you know there's a difference between the two? And they're not both connected with money. That's why it says wealth. Wealth is not always money. We can be wealthy people in things, in family. We could go through the list of things, but we could be wealthy, and then we could also have riches. And he says, shalt be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. I could go off on a tangent and tell you about the first man that ever took me soul winning, my pastor's brother, and he was a good man. He invested his money, followed God. He was a good man, led the singing all the days that he was able in my home church. Good, good man. But I never heard him preach a sermon. Never, ever. I didn't know he was called to preach until I went home after Bible college and talked to my preacher. But that man, God blessed him with wealth and riches because he did it God's way. I heard all kinds of stories about him, about how these things that are going to come afterwards were things that were true in his life. He had all kinds of money. People try to steal gas from him. He'd take the can out of their hand and say, boys, come on, let's go to the store. In the 70s, when it was hard to get gas, he'd take the gas can. He didn't rebuke them. He realized it ran out of gas a few miles back, and he'd put the gas can in the trunk of the car, and he'd take them to the gas station and buy them gas. Take them back and put the gas in the car for them. And the whole time witnessing about the Lord Jesus Christ and how good he was. Look at the Bible. He says this, unto the upright there shall arise light in the darkness. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. One of the verses that the reason I chose I had to stay here tonight and not go back to the Proverbs, because for me, I understand that we have a supernatural God, and that when we do things and delight ourselves in Him, unto the upright, all right, that means those that really want to do it God's way. When we've cleaned ourselves up and we keep, well, let me say it like this. I hate to say it that way because, you know, we really don't clean ourselves up, do we? When God has cleaned us up. When God's still working in me, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Now, I've been in some dark places, but you know, after I'm there a little while, my eyes adjust to the focus, and I start pulling all the light that's around me. Do you know, even in this dark world that we live in today, if we're careful and we do right, we can see the Lord's remnant all around us. Even in a dark place, it's not hard to see those that are His. Just today, as I walked into that business, it didn't take me long to realize that this guy loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And it didn't take me long to find out that he found him here at Landmark Baptist Church. It isn't hard to find those folks. God gives us light in this life, even in this darkness that we face. He is gracious. This is talking about the blessed man. He's going to find light in the darkness. He's going to be able to keep his steps in the right way. You know, I know that we could put this analogy in there. This word is a lamp and a light unto my path. Amen. In the dark places, this thing will show my steps. Then he goes on. He says, he is gracious and full of compassion. It's not talking about the Lord, folks. This is talking about the blessed man. It's talking about the man who has wealth and riches. The one that is delighting himself in the Lord, you want to know how he is? The man that has wealth and riches because the Lord has blessed him with it, that guy is a, he says it here, gracious man and full of compassion and righteous. And he says in verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. Do you know a lot of people have contrary with this between this and the book of Proverbs? Now there's a difference between signing on and being surety for someone else when you don't got it, and being the blessed man and have wealth and riches and having it and lending it. That's a different thing. The Bible's not talking about the same thing. If I go signing on the dotted line for somebody because I got good credit, but I ain't got no money, and they default and I got to pay for them, that'll hurt me. The Bible says it's not a smart thing for me to do. The Bible actually says I shouldn't do it. The Bible says if I do it, I should run to them and say, please take my name off of that. But here it says if I'm a blessed man and God has blessed me and I'm merciful and I'm righteous and I got it, it says a good man showeth favor. Do you know when you see somebody that you believe will pay it back? And I'll just tell you, in my life, I've had some believers be a blessing to me. I've had some believers be a blessing to me, and instead of having to borrow money from the bank, they lent money to me. And they showed favor. And they believed me and took me at my word. They didn't run my credit history. They showed favor because I was a believer. Their spirit witnessed with my spirit. And I believe this, they were such a good man, if they never saw another dime of that money, they will believe that they had had mercy and compassion and righteousness and done what God told them to do. But I've never taken money for somebody I didn't pay back that was a believer. Thank God for that. I can say that as a testimony that God gave it back to me so I could give it to them. He says this, he will guide his affairs with discretion. The blessed man that fears the Lord and delighteth in his commandments, all his affairs, you know what that means? All the business of his life, everything that's going on in his life, He will guide his affairs with discretion. That word discretion, again, is a great word. It's a word that, again, is just going to have all these connotations of understanding and knowledge and wisdom all bound up in one, and that wisdom in right use. That means he's taking all the context of the things that he is delighting in the commandments of God, and he's putting them in the right context as he's going through his life. He's making right decisions as he considers the affairs of his life. He goes on and says, surely he shall not be moved. Surely he shall not be moved. Can I give you just a couple verses in the New Testament I think affirm some of that? You don't have to turn to the first one, but you can listen to it. I think you might know it. But you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So many of you may not know that, but this one in Matthew you might have heard of before. Matthew 6, 33. Heard this one before? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you realize the context of that chapter as Jesus teaches it to, many of his disciples and those that are out there with him that day, was about some financial things and things and cares of the world and of this life? And he tells the believer those things. He's saying, look, the first things first. If you're going to be a blessed man, the blessed is the man, amen, that feareth the Lord and delighteth in his way. And I'm going to just tell you, here he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sometimes we get those perspectives out of whack. In 1 Corinthians, he says this. I want to reread the scripture that I gave you as we head towards the end here. But in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it ties in with verse 6. He says, surely he shall not be moved. Talking about the blessed man, he says, forever the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. The righteous shall be in, all right, in everlasting remembrance. Do you know people that are truly blessed men? They are not moved, and they stand their ground, and they hold their position, and they walk with the Lord, and they go through. And again, can I just give you a good example? Dr. Mickey Carter. Somebody that's not been moved or shaken. by time, the world, everybody that's tried to have a part of the ministry or take a piece of him with them, he's not been moved. And in chapter 15, a very famous chapter, but I'll use the last verse in verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my brethren, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." If you want to balance everything, I take a New Testament verse and balance everything that we've talked about tonight. Delighting yourself in the Lord is just simply knowing, figuring out what's right and putting it into practice in your life. Figuring out what's right and then put it into practice in your life. Let God work through those things until you get it right. And once you get it right, be unmovable. Work on the next thing, or keep working until you hit the mark in all those areas. Be unmovable. Be steadfast in the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know why? Because God, I want you to understand this. Now, this is just a little bit of context of a psalm in the Old Testament about wealth and riches. You ought not do it for wealth and riches. I'm going to be honest with you. If you do it for wealth and riches, you probably won't find them. But if your delight is in the Lord and you want him to delight in your life, some of those people are people that God blesses beyond all measure. And your labor will not be in vain in the Lord. Some of you, it's not going to be money. One of the great blessings of my life, if I could say it like this, I have several teenagers that I count them riches in my life. When I get to see what God has done in their lives, when I get to see some of the people God's allowed me to minister to in the college and just in the areas of my life, and I look at dear saints with gray hair in this place that have invested in so many. When I go home to my home church, where I grew up, and I see all my Sunday school teachers and folks that have been faithful and taught me what I know to be right from the Word of God, I can't do anything but say thank you. I have to stand up and say, I'm a blessed man for what God did through you and me. I have to say, this book is so true, but I didn't know all about it back then. When I was just a little boy and I was in the school and you taught me the good word of God until I got it. When you taught me over and over and over again until, boy, one day you got to pat me on the back and say, whew, you got it. I'm a blessed man today because of other believers that didn't give up on me. But they stood unmovable in their place and they kept on teaching and they kept on working and they kept on giving and they kept on doing until an old boy got it. And folks, it's not just me. There are people, even at those businesses in Lake Wales, that'll say, praise God for Landmark Baptist Church. They sent a bus after me and they brought me week after week after week. An assistant manager that'd say, at Christian school, they taught me well. They taught me well. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight, I'm going to close in prayer tonight. And I want to thank the Lord for what he's done in my life. And I hope tonight, maybe you're here and you said, boy, I want to make the Lord delight in me. I want the Lord to, I want to be his delight. We'll not have an invitation, but I'll pray and maybe God spoke to your heart. Maybe there's some of you, I don't know. Maybe there's somebody in here that came into the midweek service thinking, it ain't worth it. Boy, it's worth it. Maybe you came in tonight thinking, I don't know if God will bless you. He'll bless folks if you make him his dear delight. Dear God, I thank you for all that you've done in my life, God, and so many of the young people sitting in this room, how I've watched already work in their lives. God, I pray you'd help all the believers here, God, some that have made some great strides in the Christian life. God, help us to be an encouragement to those that are coming behind. God, help us to keep on teaching and help us to realize that our labor's not in vain. We'll thank you and we'll honor you for it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.